This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Welcome to Talk of Asian Marketing. And today we have a special show, a special topic, and a special guest. Today's topic, let me begin with, which is corner supermarkets. We've spent a lot of time on hypermarkets. We spent some time on wet markets. And in the future, we'll do a little bit more. But today, it's supermarkets. And it's a little bit interesting topic. And today, we have a very interesting person to talk about it. And that is Professor Jane Liu from Zhongxin University in Taichung, Taiwan. Jane, how you doing?
Pretty good, thank you. Nice to be here with you guys.
Yeah, everybody may remember Jane from our Costco show. We shot some video and that was a great day. Jane, I don't think you bought anything that day, did you?
I didn't, but I went back and we bought something and I think it was an interesting place to visit.
Yeah, you bought things later. Well, I wasn't going to buy anything, but James made me buy stuff, so... Of course, we have James Stanworth here, who's from Tsinghua University of Education, also in central Taiwan. James, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. And as usual, it's great to be here. And I'm super excited that Jane's come to join us today because she's really got some great perspectives on the hypermarkets and where people shop for fresh and other local produce. So I think this is going to be a really interesting show.
Yeah, for sure. Our other regular guest or host or director or whatever you want to call him is the man of the hour, Stephen Huang from National Kaohsiung First University of Science and Technology, Marketing and Logistics Department down in Kaohsiung, which is kind of southern Taiwan. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm fine. Hi, everyone. It's our honor to have Jane as our special guest for today's show.
Yeah, that's for sure. So today's website's all set up. We got a bunch of pictures. We have some video. We have some advertisements, some TV commercials. So if you guys get a chance, maybe take a look at that. I'll give you a little bit more context and let you know what we're talking about. So let's begin. And I'm going to just start off by saying, you know, I think when I first came to Taiwan, I was a little bit surprised because I was studying a little bit of Chinese and I was learning the Chinese word for supermarket, 超级市场, and I thought, wow, okay, I got that. And I went out to a supermarket and it didn't seem very super to me. Jane, I think compared to American supermarkets, Taiwan supermarkets and Hong Kong supermarkets are not exactly super in size, are they?
Yeah, they're pretty much just a bigger scale of the convenience store and selling some convenience stuff and then some fresh produce.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to put it, a little bit bigger than convenience stores. Convenience stores like 7-Eleven can be 20, 30, 40 ping large, but these supermarkets sometimes are just a little bit bigger than that, maybe double the size unless you get a really special one like Imao, which could be much bigger. James, what's your feeling about supermarkets, your first impression of supermarkets? You must have visited a few.
Yeah, sure. I've visited a few around here. And just like Jane says, I'm really surprised by their scale. They feel fairly small and very similar, in fact, to the ones that we saw this summer in Singapore, the narrow aisles, plenty of promotional items and promotional stands, and a good range of sort of fresh right through to sort of gift produce and other items, all squeezed right in. It has that real Chinese format feel to it.
Yeah, I think that's really a good point. You can see these everywhere in the greater China region. These are not unique to Taiwan or Hong Kong, even though these places, certainly the population density makes them very common. Stephen, what's your general impression of supermarkets in Taiwan? You grew up with them. So I guess when you went over to America and you saw supermarkets there, what's the biggest thing that strikes you as different?
The supermarket in Taiwan is smaller, right? But in the very beginning, the Super Maggie was bigger than the traditional dry vegetable stores in Taiwan.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it qualifies to be super since it was bigger than the existing. But certainly compared to the hypermarkets we have now, they're much, much smaller, very small. So right. Jane, you know, maybe you could fill us in a little bit. What are the target market segments for these supermarkets? Because I think anyone who had visited Taiwan would think these stores would go away very quickly, but they're going strong, even expanding still. What are their target market segments?
Well, in Taipei, there's a different environment because it's so crowded, and then people usually don't have their own vehicles to go to the hypermarket. Hypermarkets are all located in the surrounding areas, suburban areas. And if people wanted to go to traditional market, they have to be there at certain hours, like in the morning or evening hours. But these corner supermarkets, they pretty much around 24 hours a day, and then they provide the fresh produce and then certain processed food for people who need to buy groceries, except those morning or evening hours of those traditional market. So they provide a certain way of convenience, and then they have this standard priced items, and then people could go in there and pick up and then leave in a very convenient way. So I think they fit in this niche market just because like in a metropolitan area in Taipei that the people do need to buy certain items in the evening hours or just at the regular the office hours, and they need to grab something very quickly. And then those things are not the regular items sold in the convenience stores, and then they don't need to go to a hypermarket for just one or two things they really need it right away.
Well, that's a good point. Of course, Taipei has the subway, and just like Hong Kong, the subway, a lot of people don't have any vehicles at all and just travel around that way. So you can go to the corner supermarket, grab one bag of stuff, and take it right home.
I think that's an interesting point on the sort of the fresh as well. Jane, I was wondering, because typically, as we've talked about in some of our previous shows, the fresh is such a dominant feature of the wet market. And when you go to the hypermarket, there's such a small area for fresh. How do you have you any feeling on how successful the fresh items are in these small supermarkets?
But they provide unlimited varieties, but at a certain time of the day that you don't have nearby traditional market running or opening, that you do need certain things, like you need a bottle of milk. And then you need just a pack of processed meat that you don't really need them out of the traditional market. You can kind of tolerate a little bit. You sacrifice the freshness a little bit, and then you could get the product you need right away. So that's a kind of it's a like multi-channel selection for some consumers. They go to the traditional market, but if they need something that's not at the certain hours that they have to buy it, and then they would go to this corner supermarket just to grab it, and then just to use it for today, for tomorrow, and then next time when they go to the traditional market, they will just purchase it over there. So it's they have different choices of these outlets. And then they also go to the hypermarket, but they don't they don't ignore the existence of this corner supermarket. They know they are there, they provide very limited varieties, but they do need these corner supermarkets once in a while.
Yeah, I think that's really the key point. I think a lot of people would miss if they just stopped in the Hong Kong or Taiwan for a short time and they saw those hypermarkets. They think the hypermarkets are taking the market away and just dominating it. But as Jane says, you know, a lot of people come over there and, you know, they're going to the wet market at one time, they're stopping at the supermarket another time, And they're doing a lot of channel switching, is what we were talking about in the chicken show. You know, people in Taiwan and China, very easy to switch between channels. And I don't think there's any one channel that supplies everything. Jane, you know, I've noticed that, like, the Chenlen stores, which are, their English name is called PX Mart, you know, and the PX comes from, they were actually post-exchange, which means a military base where you can buy your stuff. These stores, Chenlen, are all seem to be located right next to or near wet markets. So that kind of fits in exactly with what you're saying, that, you know, people can go to the wet market and then stop right next door at a Chenlen and then pick up other things they need for their daily consumption or their household needs.
We agree, but Chenlen was kind of restricted to all those military government employees certain years ago, and now it's open to all the general public. They provide pretty much just household utilities and process the food, and like all those soft drinks and milk, and then other just daily consumption items. And then the packages, the size of the packages provided in China is a little bit smaller than the size of packages provided in Hypermart. So that would fit in, like if people go in there and then riding a scooter, they would fit in the very small space they could carry away.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, every day I drive by Costco, I see people trying to fit these big boxes of things onto their scooters. It's very challenging. So certainly these corner stores are really convenient. James, you said you got to a Welcome store, did you? And what did you experience? Was it your first time there?
Yes, it was my first time. And I think that's, as Jane was talking there, I was thinking that was really because I'm not quite in that niche that she's highlighted that they really target. When I need something, maybe it's just a pack of gum or, something maybe just like a bread for a snack, and you can get that, of course, in the 7-Eleven convenience stores, one of the other thousands, literally thousands of convenience stores that litter the streets. But I'm not usually maybe coming home to cook some food or prepare anything. So, I've really not consciously gone in or looked for a supermarket. So it was, yes, it was the first time to go in there and really have a little bit of a browse round and an opportunity to take a look. But I can see maybe it will get incorporated into my shopping trips now, since I enjoy some fresh fruit and so on, and I can get that right in there. So perhaps that niche now will appeal to my needs as well. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things we're always talking about on the show, which is if you stop into Taiwan for a short time, and James, you haven't been here a short time. You've been here quite a number of years. But even so, you just haven't had a chance to run into these stores. They tend to be hidden away. There tend to be one floor or two floors stuck right in between a lot of other buildings. Like Jane was saying, you know, a Welcome or something like that could be just a little bit bigger than, you know, a convenience store. You just run in and get what you want and run out. And if you didn't know about these stores, you might not even notice them ever.
Exactly. With my family members here, we were just sort of discussing, because I said, you know, we're going to do the show, and I need to find some of these stores. And there was my wife, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, a couple of other local Taiwanese and from the same city here. And there was a sort of look of confusion when I was saying, is there a Welcome in the city? And people quickly came to the conclusion there wasn't until I asked someone else and they pointed me out in the right direction. So they are. They just seem to blend into the landscape, and maybe that also reflects the kind of target market they have. The people are fairly local, it's convenient, and they're familiar with where it is. But if you're outside that catchment area, then they're not going to be on your radar.
Yeah. Stephen, I was kind of wondering, you know, as Jane was saying, you know, the density in Taipei makes these stores really common. And then James was having some trouble finding these in Tainan. What about in Kaohsiung? Do you have a lot of Welcomes, Sinongs, and Imaus, or, you know, what's the situation further down south?
Mm-hmm. Not so many Welcome, even though Sinong or know Yimao in Kaohsiung, but many local corner supermarket here, markets here.
Mm-hmm. What markets do you have there? Are they part of a larger chain like Matsue? I can never say their name right.
You mean Matsuse?
Yeah, no, Matsuse. Not, yeah, thank you.
Not Steven, so many.
Steven's our Japanese expert.
No. not so many. There are many local corner supermarkets here.
And are they just local, are they just
local
like
brand,
a,
so kind of a
single mom and pop
spot.
Stores? Mm-hmm. I think we call them mom and pop supermarkets.
Mom and pop.
Yeah, like they might just own like two or three stores, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jane, what do you think about that? Why is it that all of a sudden we get down south and there's not a lot of penetration of the bigger chains? What's the any reason or thoughts about that?
But they needed to expand their chain stores in very populated areas like Taipei, Taichung, and down south. It's a different scenario. Where people need to know each other. It's like a very tight connection in this social network. So if you go into a corner supermarket and then you know the owner, know the person who's selling you the stuff, and then you trust that person there, and then you are more willing to purchase stuff from there. So if you go into a place that's very neat designed, very clear, very looks like a high quality place, and then you don't know anybody there, and then you'll be very suspicious, and then you would.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
The prices are so high that you kind of reluctant to go in there because you don't know this place.
Yeah.
So it's a different scenario. People like to know each other. They want to buy things from person they know. They are sure the product they purchase will be kind of guaranteed for this quality.
Yeah, James, that kind of ties in with some of your research talking about word of mouth, and Jane saying that really affects things down south because you go to these smaller supermarkets, there's no doubt the pricing is going to be higher per unit, but you get that more comfortable feeling. And from your research, you are finding word of mouth is even important for a really big chain like Tesco.
That's right, yes. We're finding that, as we talked about, in fact, in the research show, that the word of mouth for Tesco was much, much lower than for the local format for RT Mart. And as Jane's just saying here, I can really imagine that in a place like Tainan that's a little bit more sort of localized, a little bit less sort of international than the capital up in Taipei, then people really value their close social networks. They're very dominant part of the way people do business, the way they interact with each other. So having something that doesn't really give that local feel but is more trying to sell itself on a format, I can really imagine is much more difficult.
Yeah, so I think this really hits a point, which is entering this market is really not an easy thing. And I think companies like Tesco, maybe Costco in the future will run into some blocks. Certainly Carrefour has kind of hit a wall on expansion and sales because these last strongholds, the wet markets and the corner supermarkets, they're really, really hard to beat because they really have a strong niche. And you can see the pictures we've got down here. I've got some pictures of Welcome down on picture 11 and 12 and 13. What's really cool about walking in the Welcome is just when you go in, it's a tiny, tiny store, but they make a nice big aisle in one section, which is the fresh food area. So you can go in there, and they even have a sign that says, "Welcome to the fresh market." You know, this is really trying to push that idea. Jane, which corner market do you shop at? Because I think you mentioned you don't do a lot of food shopping at a hypermarket. Do you go to a regular corner market?
Yes, there's a corner masseuse that I usually go to at night just to grab some things for a kid or just get some fresh produce right away. The prices are a little bit higher, but everybody there knows me, and I know all of them. So it's kind of a very convenient, very friendly environment for me, and then I could get what I want, but I just have to pay a little bit price premium for the product I purchased there. And then there was once that I purchased something for my classes. Mm-hmm. And then the stuff I purchased were like a huge amount of it. It's like 18 cans of these chips. And then the products I purchased were expired, but I didn't notice it because you don't go into supermarket and check the expiration date on the products you trust them. So students in the class sampled all these items, and then they figured out that all these items were expired and not that long ago, but like last month. And then I called the manager right away, and then the manager was not in the store, and then they knew who I was, and then they recorded, and then they get the manager, called me later, and then the manager was very polite, and then the manager arranged like a $2,000 voucher for students, and then they kind of returned the stuff and then refunded every dollar I spent in there. So it's a kind of they have this customer service, and then they have the very good connection with the local people. They even say the greeting when you come in, and then they would say, "Well, you are here a little bit late today. You must be very busy today." So they would be like friends to you, although they don't know that where I'm working or what my name is, but they could tell from people who come in at a certain regular hours. So it's like they have these corner advantages. So it's not just that the operating hours, it's not just that the products they sell. They have these advantages to stay into this social network, and then they provide the consumer utilities to the local community. So that's why I think the Masuse Welcome and then even this Chenlian are not going to disappear in 7 years.
I think that's such a interesting little service case there, where something's gone wrong and the manager's dived in and fixed it up for you, and it sounds like you're left fairly happy. The point I think that's interesting too is that that the goods were actually past their due date, because I remember recently, I think it was a story that you shared with us, Stephen, that one of the cakes in 85C was past their sell-by date. And that kind of seems interesting, and I'm wondering whether this is kind of a systematic, a process problem, basically, that these stores aren't, or some of these outlets aren't checking when their products are going or getting close to the sell-by date, or whether it's some other reason that these kind of situations are happening, that, in other words, products are getting sold past their sell-by date. Is it a sort of procedure problem, or is there some other reason why that kind of situation is happening? I don't know if anyone has got a viewpoint or a perspective on that.
Well, not just that. The Sinnong recently was in trouble for selling a pork that was dead pork. You know, pigs that had already died, and they slaughtered them anyway and sold them. So I think everyone's gotten in trouble with this. Jane, any thoughts on why there's so many of this in the news lately about expired dates, and even you got some expired products? Sinun got in trouble for expired pork.
I requested the manager to explain the reason for this expired products on sale on shop, and then the manager told us that they've got some problem with this distributor. Ah. Distributor sold them the things that are very close to this expiration date, and then the staff working in this Masuse store didn't pay that much attention on this expiration date since the package just arrived. So they kind of just stack all this packaged stuff on shelf without noticing that the expiration date is approaching. And then the manager told us that they check the expiration date every night. But sometimes it's very hard for this kind of a corner supermarket to to train the staff to do things into really details. So they may check few items like those fresh produce, but not all those processed or other utility items. So I think it's kind of in this culture that people will get by advice that if they don't do things as required. So I think it's a cultural thing that the staff would just get lazy easy at night, and then they don't have many customers coming in, and they don't do things so precisely.
Yeah, so I think it's a kind of a, James, to answer your question, it sounds like it's a systems issue. There's just not a good system in place. But to be honest, I mean, I was over at Welcome the other day. I really don't see how they could check the expiration date on those things manually, because the store is just so packed. I mean, they just got, you know, besides the wide aisle and the fresh area, it's just packed in there. And I used to be a regular shopper at Masuse, and I don't go there anymore for fresh food, Jane, because I got like a series of vegetables and some fruits that, you know, you bought it in a package. Matsuse tends to put them inside plastic packages. And every time I went home, the top looked good, but the bottom was rotten, or inside was rotten. I just bought onions at Costco, took them home, cut one open, totally rotten inside. So I've switched all my fresh food shopping to the wet market, because I think it's really hard for these stores to get systems down, like you're saying. It just seems really difficult.
Yes. Sorry, Jen. Go ahead.
I don't buy fresh meat at the Masuse, to be honest.
Right. Well, that's crossed off my shopping list too, as well. You're saying that, but in fact, my wife is usually a pretty avid wet market shopper, so normally we don't buy meat for sure in the supermarket or the hypermarket. I think that's interesting that you're saying that, Clyde, on the system and the procedure. I think that's why I thought from observation that was the case, because normally staff are trained in the supermarkets when they're stacking the shelves, when they're reshelving, that's a routine part of the procedure. You make sure you bring the old product to the front of the shelf and also check the expiration date. And since these stores are 24 hours, then I sit in Jane's camp on this one, that I guess they're probably encouraged or trained, or maybe they're not, to use that opportunity when footfall is light in the night to go through all the checks and the procedures. I think another interesting point, Clyde, that's come up too is the fact that you're saying much of the produce in there is packed in plastic. Now, most fresh people that are selling fresh will tell you, if you get anything that's packed in plastic, like a lettuce or something like that, you bring it home, the first thing you do is just get rid of that plastic, so your produce isn't going to go moldy and soggy and rotten.
And
what I'm wondering here is what these guys' relationships is like with their suppliers. I guess they must be fairly flimsy and brittle, because this was one thing that Tesco worked on quite hard. They were starting to develop strong supply relationships to try and make sure that the product arrived in store in the right quality, in the right condition. So, like in UK, they can guarantee, for example, their flowers for 7 days as being absolutely fresh. Their fresh milk lasts for a long time because it's refrigerated right through the supply chain. And the same with the flowers. They're treated in the right way to guarantee delivery. And my guess is, like with Carrefour, who have famously aggressive and adversarial relationships, I do wonder if these small supermarkets that are part of these large chains also have sort of non-partnerships and perhaps slightly brittle relationships with their suppliers.
And maybe Stephen can give us some input. I suspect a lot of it has to do with the store and who their actual owner is. So I think like Sinong has pretty good fresh food choices. I haven't had many problems there. They have more chains. They're owned by Weichen, a food company, corporation, so they have a lot of strength in the channel. But
They have the good connections with the farms.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, and Sinong is manufacturer of agricultural medicine.
So they have a good history with that relationship then.
Yes, yes.
But Masuse, I think they don't have many outlets, and they probably don't have such a good connection then.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I would suspect that's the problem. What about Welcome now? Welcome emphasizes their fresh food. I haven't bought a lot of fresh food from Welcome. Jane, how do you like the Welcome stores?
Welcome is very much like Masuse in the way they process this fresh produce. They have this what we call pretty much like the central kitchen. So in Masuse, they have this central area processing all the fresh meat, fruits, vegetables, pack them, and deliver to all of their stores island-wide in the morning. So what you buy at Masuse or Welcome, that's pretty much the meat that started yesterday. So they need the time to process the pack and then deliver and then restack the shelf. So it's not like what you can get from the wet market. It's like a fresh slaughtered early in the morning. So it's only a few hours away. And then for the fresh produce, it's several, from one day to several days.
Yeah, well, that's
so
that's
Welcome is very much like a Masuse, but Welcome is more diversified. They would have a very high-priced stuff and then very low-priced. And then you could go in there and then you could buy some very cheap stuff. But for Masuse, it's pretty much like smaller scale, meat-packed. It was Japanese style. Now it's a little bit localized.
Yeah, it strikes me as being kind of a imau, only much lower kind of... target market segment, you know, not such high end, not so much decoration, not so much Japanese products. In fact, you can't really find any there anymore, except the name of the store. But it kind of has that feeling, just a little bit lower down.
In Welcome, it's a little bit messy inside, except for the fresh produce. But in Masuse, it's a little bit neat inside.
Yeah, you can see the pictures we have on the website show that clearly. Matsuse's really got a nice, clean setup. They have lots of wide aisles. Compare that to Chenlen, which is kind of chaos inside.
Yeah, I think when you walk in, yes, the stores, I mean, it has that same typical feel. And you see in one of the last photographs we've got on the page, that very sort of clean feel and the lots of bright lights in there. I mean, it almost looks like Christmas, the number of... light bulbs they've got hanging down. That's very, very similar, isn't it, to the 7-Eleven chain that really focuses on maxing out on brightness.
Yeah, right, exactly. But if you go into the Chenlen stores, which we have pictures of, let me see here. I have a nice, good video of it, actually. The video is video number...
One.
Five. Chenlen's five. Five for Chenlen. And video five, take a look at that, and you'll see a store that's even during the peak hours. This was during the peak hour of activity when the wet market right next door is open. They're still stocking the shelves. The workers are standing right in the way. They got boxes all over the place. The lighting are just fluorescent bars, nothing special like Imaou or Masuse. So you really get this big gap that James is talking about. But it doesn't stop people because Chenlen's, I think, the biggest chain out of all the ones we're talking about. They have the most stores, which really touches on that idea of, you know, you can go into a store and be struck by the difference that you feel between the Western supermarket format. But then it's so successful here because people, that's not what they're centering on. That's exactly what James was talking about last time in the research of the hypermarket where... wrong is right, and maybe right is wrong. Everything gets kind of upside down. But if you ask people, do you want to go shopping in a messy store, they'd say no, but then everything's relative.
Yeah, I think the that idea of the right is wrong, and I think the point you were coming to, I thought you were just about to make, Clyde, was when you talk about messy or when you talk about dirty, it's so much in the eyes of the beholder. And not only that, but it's also... degrees of importance. And I think what we saw, what we touched on in the research show, was the fact that in different situations, in different formats, different things can become important to the consumer. So, for example, in the wet market situation, the fact that, yes, it is acknowledged to be a little bit dirty, but the idea of freshness and convenience and other factors seem to outweigh the apparent dirtiness of the environment. And I think Jane's point right at the beginning is just probably hits the nail so clearly on the head as to why people come to these supermarkets. The idea of convenience is such a dominant thing here, and the idea of being able to pick up convenient fresh produce, or sufficiently fresh that you'll make that compromise for getting it quickly, is really must be a big draw for consumers here.
Yeah, very much. Stephen, any final thoughts?
I'm wondering what the customer values the supermarket or corner supermarket or hypermarket provide for their customer, for their customers.
So I think the corner supermarket, what their value would be, I think Jane was saying she thinks it's that connection, that that kind of personalized kind of relationship, even though it's not super personalized. Jane, what do you think? What's the biggest difference between what the hypermarket provides and what the corner supermarket provides?
When hypermarket is, you have to sacrifice several hours of shopping. You have to park, you have to go into, you have to wait in lines for the checkout, and then it's like a big event over the weekend. If you don't have several hours to go over a hypermarket, you pretty much have to choose either a wet market or a corner supermarket. A corner supermarket is more organized than the wet market. If you don't like the noise or you don't want to get up early in the morning to go to the wet market, then supermarket is the choice. If there's a need, there's the supply, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a great way to sum it up. So there is a need, and you need to look at, if you're going to enter these kind of markets, you got to look at the need. And I think not come into the market with your existing assumptions just in hand. You really need to look at what those consumer needs are. And Jane's really been great today to help us see what some of those local needs are. So we're going to wrap up this show on corner supermarkets. It's been a good show. Thank you very much, Jane, for coming on the show with us.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, so we're going to wrap that one up. Stephen?
Yes.
James, thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. A pleasure as always.
This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Meow, 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 meow